Right now, let's go to David Dolan. David, a lot going on in the Middle East. Let me get right to what Bashar Assad said. He said that the Arab world is ready to join the fight against Israel. That does not sound good.
Well, no, it certainly doesn't. There's analysts in Israel, though, Jimmy, that are very much questioning that contention because, of course, Bashar al-Assad is involved in a very intense internal struggle. He said in the same interview that there's 100,000 fighters participating in this battle beyond his military, and he's indicated many of those have come from abroad. Well, we know Hezbollah has a major force in there. The Iranian Revolutionary Guards are operating, rogue Arab forces from Iraq, Sunni forces from Bahrain, other Gulf states are there, people from Libya, some Palestinians, we reportedly heard, have come up from Gaza to fight. So it's become more and more of an international conflict, but one that certainly is preoccupying Assad. But as one of the Israeli generals, Yadlid, pointed out this week, Jimmy, is all Syria would have to do technically at this stage is just move some of their missiles and rocket positions, just move the angle at which they're set to fire by a few degrees, and they could interfere with Israel. They could strike Israel. So, in other words, the Israelis would not have very much notice, given that there is an active war already going on throughout Syria, that a strike was imminent or being prepared to be imminent. But the Israeli officials added they're watching that very closely. They're monitoring all the military activity going on in Syria, we believe, by drone aircraft as well as satellites and other methods. But it's a very serious situation. And Assad also called upon other Arab forces to liberate, quote, unquote, the Golan Heights. So he's, inviting other regional Muslim forces to come if that is their goal. And he'll allow them to use the southern part of Syria as a staging ground. All this designed maybe to divert attention from his own internal war, but nevertheless all very threatening to Israel.
Yes, and must be watched very closely by the Israeli Defense Force. This report should bring some concern as well to the entire Middle East. It says Bashar Assad has enough sarin to, in fact, destroy all of the state of Damascus and maybe even some more parts of Syria itself.
Well, we believe he has one of the world's largest chemical weapons arsenals on Earth that no one knows for sure because, of course, exact statistics are not published by the government there or by other governments, frankly, that possess such weapons. But for a small country of just about 22 million people to have one of the world's largest chemical weapons arsenals is rather amazing. And, we don't want to find out exactly how much they have. But, of course, the Israelis have repeated, and there was a three-day chemical weapons test throughout Israel. It's an annual drill, Jimmy, that the Army holds. But this year's was much more extensive than ever before. School children were sent down to bomb shelters, and a mock raid was conducted near the Knesset, an attack near the Knesset in Jerusalem and other things. Prime Minister Netanyahu commented on it, said people do need to get ready. This is a real possibility, and they're getting as ready as they can and getting the people psychologically ready for the possibility that these horrible weapons might be used against Israel as the regional situation continues to deteriorate.
And Prime Minister Netanyahu also telling Vladimir Putin, President of Russia, that if they do send those S-300s, and there's some debate as to whether Syria has already received them or they're going to be coming next year, whatever, Netanyahu says to Putin, you send them in, we'll destroy them.
Well, and in that interview that Assad did that you mentioned, he claimed that the first batch have arrived and are now being deployed. Now, that can't be independently verified, but the Russian administration admits they're carrying on with that sale, and that sale was, to be fair to Assad, it was conducted before this civil strife began. But now that the country is in total warfare, really, especially now, the Israelis cannot afford to see those weapons. And as Netanyahu pointed out, that would basically turn all of the Israeli skies into a no-fly zone. Those missiles are long-range enough that they can be fired from inside Syria and hit any Israeli aircraft flying over Israeli airspace. Well, you're right. They're not going to put up with that. That's just too advanced a weapon. If the Russians want to go forward with it, as they seem to, the Israelis will have to prepare for a military strike, just as the case is in Iran.
Yes, they'll have to deal with those S-300s, and also reports coming out of Russia that they're going to sell some 10 MiG-29s to Syria. I don't know if they are capable of really flying those MiG-29s or not. I know that back a couple of years ago in one of the wars there, the Israeli Air Force took out every single MiG they put in the air.
Actually, Jimmy, it was 1982, the first Lebanon war, and I was there in South Lebanon on the afternoon of, I think it was June 8th, when Israel knocked down nearly 90 of those Syrian MiGs in a massive dogfight over Lebanon. Israel itself lost only 3 aircraft, so it was a lopsided victory, to say the least, for Israel. But, of course, that's a long time ago, and presumably the MiG-29s have been improved, and the Syrian pilots have been improved. But, of course, in previous conflicts, Russian pilots took the helm of some of their own planes. So that could potentially happen again, and that would, of course, greatly widen the conflict.
Talk to me about the Russian weapons transfer. Could this bring about war? You keep warning us it could happen. Could the Russian transfer of these weapons and these military aircraft bring about war?
Well, Jimmy, it's akin to this. You've got a fire going, and somebody comes in with a couple barrels of oil and says, oh, I'm going to pour this on this fire. Well, is it going to strengthen the fire? Of course. Is it going to make it more dangerous? Of course. More explosive? Of course. And that's exactly what the pouring in of this level of weapons. Now, you know, the rebel fighters are getting weapons from the Gulf, and now the European Union says it will sell weapons, but they're not talking about warplanes, and they're not talking about the most sophisticated anti-aircraft systems on Earth. But that's what the Russians are selling the Syrians. They carry on with it despite all this conflict, and it's in my estimation, a very dangerous move on their part. But they don't want to lose that base they have with Assad. Iran doesn't want to lose it. And we're now seeing, as I predicted, that Assad wasn't going to be overthrown in a month or two, as Hillary Clinton and others were indicating earlier. This is going to be a dogfight till the end, and they're very serious about staying in power.
Well, and if they cannot stay in power, I understand there's a report that Bashar Assad has said, or some of the experts there in Israel, believing that Bashar Assad may use the Samson option. Explain that, and do you think he would do it?
I think he would. That's basically saying, if I go down, I take everyone else down with me. Of course, Samson did in ancient times, and Assad has a lot to lose, and we've got to remember that these Islamic sects, the Alawite sect that he's a part of, that has been brutally ruling the country for over 4 decades over the Sunni majority, and of course the Sunnis themselves over the centuries, they've engaged in very fierce internal conflicts. This is nothing new, and the Shiites as well. And they tend to slaughter the other side, whoever is victorious. So that's what the regime is worried about, meaning they have every incentive to fight to the end, and if they are losing, to just take everyone down with them. That, of course, could include a strike on Israel, and that's what is keeping analysts awake in Jerusalem.
Well, would not this go down to the legacy for Bashar Assad that he was the first one in the Middle East of the Arab countries that would really go in and try to destroy the state of Israel?
Yeah, if he's going to die anyway, he might as well go down in the history books as some sort of a martyr or a hero. So that would be another reason for him to do this, although the more likely reality is that the dictator himself and his top echelon would get out safely. They would probably have safe haven in Russia. Other countries have already offered that, in fact, and then just let their people be slaughtered in a bloodbath from both sides. So that's what they could set off. A major chemical strike certainly would spark that off, Jimmy, and it's a real possibility.
Real possibility, and it's a part of a prophetic scenario for the end times found in God's Word. David Dolan, the man who covers the Middle East with his news updates each week here on Prophecy Today. We so appreciate David. David, thank you, my good friend. Have a great weekend.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.